From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Physician groups are asking a federal appeals court to reconsider its July ruling to uphold a Florida law passed in 2011 that restricts what doctors can ask patients regarding gun ownership. Opponents of the law, which has been dubbed Docs versus Glocks, argue it restricts physicians' free speech and could set a worrisome precedent. Supporters of the law say it prevents medical providers and insurance companies from discriminating against or harassing gun owners. We'll hear from both sides. Plus, as of early August this summer, 22 people have died from lightning strikes in the U.S. That's double the average number of deaths over the past 5 years. With Florida being the lightning capital of the country, we take a look at the possible reasons and how to protect yourself. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. So far this summer, 22 people across the country have died from lightning strikes. That's double the average number of deaths over the past 5 years. As Florida is known as the lightning capital of the country, we'll talk with experts about why we get so much lightning and what we can do to protect ourselves. WGCU's Amy Tardiff has that conversation later this hour. But first, physician groups are requesting that the full 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reconsider a recent federal ruling that upholds a Florida law restricting what doctors can ask patients about guns and gun ownership. On July 28th, a federal court lifted an injunction on the law filed by a consortium of physician groups representing some 11,000 medical providers after the bill was signed into law in 2011. The Firearm Owners Privacy Act, also dubbed Docs versus Glocks, prevents doctors from asking patients about gun ownership or recording such information in a patient's medical record. The law contains exceptions, including instances in which gun ownership would be relevant to a patient's medical care, safety, or the safety of others. The measure was sponsored by State Representative Jason Broder and State Senator Greg Evers of Pensacola. Supporters of the law say it prevents medical providers from discriminating against or harassing patients about firearm ownership and keeps insurance companies from denying coverage or charging higher premiums to gun owners. Opponents say the law restricts physicians' free speech rights and could set a dangerous precedent. The case could be appealed up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Joining me now for a closer look is Dr. Bernd Wollschläger. He's a family physician in private practice with Aventura Family Health Center in Miami. He's also one of the plaintiffs in the case against the Docs versus Glocks law. He's also a fellow of the American Society of Addiction Medicine and a clinical assistant professor of family medicine at the University of Miami School of Medicine, as well as Florida International and Florida State University's Colleges of Medicine. Dr. Wollschläger, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're also speaking with President of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, Dan Gross. He's held that post since 2012. Before that, he co-founded and directed the Center to Prevent Youth Violence after his brother was severely wounded in a shooting at the Empire State Building back in the late 1990s. Dan Gross, thanks for your time today.
Good to be here, John.
And Republican State Representative Jason Broder of Sanford joins us by phone as well. As I previously mentioned, Representative Broder championed the law through the State House in 2011. He chairs the House Health and Human Services Committee and serves as vice chair of the Select Committee on Affordable Health Care Access. Representative Broder, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, John.
We had also invited Republican Senator Greg Evers of Pensacola to join the show as he sponsored the bill in the Senate. He was unable to, as he's recently had back surgery, and we do wish him a speedy recovery. We also invited former National Rifle Association president and current Second Amendment advocate and lobbyist Marion Hammer to join us as well, but did not yet receive a response. But we do want to hear from listeners. If you're a physician or a gun owner, or both, give us a call and tell us what you think about the law. Connect with our guests with your phone calls to 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Representative Broder, let's begin with you. First of all, take us back to the time of the 2011 state legislative session. What was your impetus for sponsoring this measure?
Sure. Well, thank you. I think it's important that we lay out this context and talk about what's in the bill. I see a lot of what's in the media being misrepresented. So I want to make sure that we get that out there. The impetus for it was that we had a number of families who were writing into us that had foster children or children who were receiving Medicaid, in other words, those who were under the care of the state, who were being asked by pediatricians whether or not they owned a gun in the home, and then were denying treatment based on just that fact alone. And so families who were non-felons, freely exercising a constitutional civil right, were being denied access to medical care simply for exercising that right. This was a measure in order to try and protect those who had a gun in the home that had nothing to do with the care and treatment of the child that was in question, and to protect them. Several changes were made, and in the final law that's passed, clearly there are some instances in which that question should be asked. And so there are exceptions for a number of different medical professionals to be able to ask that. Additionally, there's no prohibition on whether or not somebody who is in the medical community, a physician or otherwise, can give a safety talk to individuals without having to directly inquire and base treatment upon whether or not somebody has exercised their civil right. And so this was a measure to protect those families who very frequently would not be within 50 miles of another pediatrician who would accept Medicaid to be denied treatment of an earache simply because they had a rifle in their house. And that was kind of the impetus of the bill.
Okay, so for you, this isn't politically motivated. This isn't a preventative step. This is about real cases of discrimination where physicians were turning people away.
Correct.
Okay. Well, let's, as you alluded to before, that there has been some information out there that's incorrect or misleading. Let's go over the specifics of the Firearm Owners Privacy Act. What exactly does the law prevent medical providers from asking about or discussing?
It prevents them from directly asking whether or not they own a firearm in an intake form that will go into their medical records. Now, that is of a general physician nature. Imagine you're taking your child in, like I said, for an earache, a sore throat, something that does not have any direct bearing on the treatment of the disease state right in front of you. Certainly, there are exceptions. And so the exceptions are if you're a psychiatrist or a psychologist, if you believe that the patient in front of you could be a harm to themselves or others, absolutely inquire. If you're an OBGYN and a woman you believe is in front of you is a victim of domestic abuse, absolutely inquire. Emergency room physicians absolutely have to inquire if they come upon a scene or somebody is wheeled in that looks like they're a gunshot wound victim. Absolutely inquire. This is to prevent having gun ownership, a Second Amendment right, be on a general intake form that for reasons that have nothing to do with the disease state being treated.
And does this prohibition extend to other healthcare providers besides just physicians?
Yes.
Who else would that apply to? Like anybody kind of working in a medical setting or like nurse practitioners or
care providers. So physician assistants, nurse practitioners, is that.
Okay. And we have gone over some of the exceptions. I also wanted to address potential discrimination against gun owners by insurance companies. And that's either through charging what I would imagine would be higher premiums or simply denying coverage outright. Tell us about that aspect of the law. Is that something that gun owners have experienced, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. However, I will tell you that it was something that was expressed a great deal during committee meetings. As we see the prevalence and the growth and what I think is rightly the growth of technology and medicine, I think it's absolutely where we need to go. Coupled with the fact that we see data breaches all the time with sensitive private information, there are a lot of people that expressed concern that said, you know, we don't release the names of people who own concealed weapons permits. That's a civil liberty. We certainly don't want insurance companies to have that kind of data. If they were going to use that as a way to raise premiums, there are a number of other things that statistically are more deadly than having a firearm in the home. So to be singled out for that specific and really unstatistically valid data point versus other data they could collect, that was something that was of great concern during the committee process as well. To my knowledge, that's not been done, that's not been used, but because of this law, that should not be the case in the future.
And I'm just going to play devil's advocate with you a little bit, Representative Broder. There's multiple studies we can point to that have found that a gun in the home is linked with higher risks of suicide, homicide, accidental gun deaths. Why shouldn't an insurance company be able to take that into account when considering premium rates the same way they would consider other factors like whether or not someone's a smoker?
Well, it's a valid question, and I will tell you that somebody First, the data that says it's linked to higher suicide rates. There are a number of factors, and the physician on the phone will tell you that suicide is an extremely complicated and devastating disease, or is the end of a very complicated and devastating disease state very frequently. Pointing to the fact that somebody owns a firearm, often the data is not inclusive enough to point to that being a specific factor. Secondarily, living in Florida, swimming pools are a very high contributor to senseless tragedies in children. Why are swimming pools then not collected? If statistically there's a higher average of deaths in swimming pools than accidental fire unarmed discharge.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a law like this is particularly important here in Florida? I mean, after all, we lead the nation in the number of concealed carry permits. I mean, I think nearly 1.4 million permits at last count.
Well, you know, I think it would be unnecessary if it hadn't been pushed by, if you look at formerly the American Academy of Pediatrics website, they had statements on their website that said, until all handguns are out of the home, it's your job to help keep them out of homes and communities. That's a political stand. Again, statistically, there are a lot of other things that contribute to danger of children at a much higher level. Why don't we get rid of playgrounds? There's a much higher incidence of injury on playgrounds. And so I think having something that was very much a political stand prompted this law. Whether it's necessary here in Florida at a greater degree than other states, I couldn't comment.
We're discussing Florida's Firearm Owners Privacy Act, which restricts what medical providers can ask patients regarding gun ownership. The law is intended to prevent discrimination and harassment against gun owners. Opponents say it infringes on medical providers' free speech. We're speaking with the law's sponsor, State Representative Jason Broder, along with Dan Gross with the Brady Campaign, and Miami physician Dr. Bernd Wollschläger, who's a plaintiff in the case against the law. Listeners can join the conversation with your comments and questions. If you're a medical provider or a gun owner, we want to hear from you. What do you think of the law? Phone lines are open at 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Or follow the live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Dr. Wollschläger, let's hear from you now. The legal challenge to this law includes physician groups representing some 11,000 medical providers, including the Florida chapters of the American Academy of Family Physicians and the American College of Physicians. But you're listed as well as kind of a standalone plaintiff in the case. What prompted you to want to do that?
Well, first of all, John, thank you very much for inviting me again. And I'm honored to be on the program. What motivated me, first of all, is a little bit background. I'm a physician, a family physician, and addiction specialist, and I see a variety of patients in my practice. I'm also a former officer in the Israel Defense Forces, was a skilled gun user and personal gun owner, gun concealed weapon permit holder, and I carry a weapon with me every day. So if I would be against the civil right, to use the Representative Broder's words of the Second Amendment, I would, no pun intended, shoot myself in my own foot. Because this issue is not, and I emphasize this with exclamation mark, it is not about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. It's about gun safety. And it's about gun safety and that we engage in a conversation with our patient, which we do every single day, about safety measures to prevent injuries, harm, and disease. Now, when I look at the data and I see that 89% of firearm-related injuries occur in children's homes, often when a child finds an unattended and loaded weapon, then I have to ask myself as a dedicated and responsible physician, what can I do to help? And the simplest, easiest form is to ask a parent, even if it's not about the child's visit, do you have minor children at home? And if you have a minor children at home, and I have children already about children at home, do you protect your gun like I protect mine? And we engage in this conversation in a meaningful fashion. In the majority of cases, my patients have no problems with that, talking about triple safety, keeping the gun unloaded, keeping the gun locked, keeping the gun inaccessible for children. And that's what we do every single day with other issues, related to safe sex, related to issues that are very intimate issues that normally people don't talk about it. And now comes the state and the government, and it really surprises me and flabbergasts me that conservative politicians are holding the flag high of state intervention into the freedom of speech, that they champion the intrusion into the private lives of people, intrusion into the conversation, the protected conversation, the freedom to unengage in a protected conversation between two people, and specifically in this very precious conversation between patient and physician. I want to emphasize this rumor that physicians terminate patients because care have it done at home. It's a rumor. There is no evidence substantiated. See, patients are not being discharged or discarded from my practice or other practice because they have the gun. I encourage my patient to carry the gun. We often compare guns. This is kind of even sometimes a show and tell in my practice. And we talk about safety measures because as responsible gun owners, we are very interested and passionate about gun safety, to exercise our rights safely. And I want to make a response directly to Representative Broder, which is a total misrepresentation of what this law says. He actually makes a very dangerous statement. Only physicians such as psychiatrists can talk about suicide prevention related to guns. Only an OBGYN can talk about domestic violence when a patient is injured. Only an ER physician can talk about gun issues if there's, for example, a gunshot injury. He seems to forget that the majority of care in our country is being rendered by family physicians. Now, I, as a family physician, if I have a patient in my office, and most of the patients that have suicidal thoughts, the first visit that they pay to, then the last visit, unfortunately, often, is a family physician. Shall I tell them, well, I cannot talk about risk and prevention, I have to refer to a psychiatrist first, and then I read the next day in a newspaper they shot themselves, because that's what's happening. Or shall I tell a woman when she's involved in, unfortunately, the victim of a domestic violence incident, I cannot ask the question about the gun ownership of your partner who exerted this violence, because I have to refer first to the OBGYN in 3 months, and then I read in the newspaper that the partner shot them. This is ludicrous, and there's no other word for that. That's absolutely ludicrous. This is the la-la land of ideological thinking that has nothing to do with the reality and nothing to do with the obligation that I have as a physician to prevent and protect my patients. So this is a dangerous precedent that Representative Broder has set, a very dangerous precedent which even imposes more intrusion of the government. And again, a conservative politician wants to have more government in the personal life, which is really stunning, and further impairs that what we believe is precious to all of us, the freedom of speech. And I emphasize this. Our opposition to this so-called Docs versus Glocks law has everything to do with the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, and nothing to do with the right to bear arms. God bless people when they bear arms. I bear my arms myself. So that is our bottom line opposition, and we are confident that we move forward and will succeed, and if not in the appeals court, but then in the Supreme Court, which will uphold the freedom of speech.
All right. Representative Broder, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to Dr. Volschlager there, particularly his charge that these are rumors that this has happened to patients out there. I mean, do we have proof here that we can look to?
Sure. Well, a couple of things. Number one, to answer the direct question, sure, there were articles from newspapers around the state prior to 2011, where this had happened. Secondarily, we don't have a lot of them that come out. A lot of people want to talk about being denied service by their physician as gun owners, but they will write to you privately. And so we had quite a few that we felt confident moving forward. Secondarily, I'm glad we're talking because I think there's a misconception about the law. Physicians can ask about gun ownership, not only the specialties I mentioned, but any time they think that their patient is a danger to themselves or others. All the situations mentioned by the doctor are instances in which it would be perfectly acceptable to ask about gun ownership because you suspect that there may be a safety issue from somebody directly that you think could be a danger to themselves or others. This law is strictly to prohibit it going into a chart and having it be somewhere that could be found by insurance companies and used as a basis for whether or not to treat. I think the conversation can still be had. The charge that it's about the First Amendment right, there's nothing in the bill that prohibits you from giving a safety talk on guns. You just can't pre-qualify whether or not somebody owns a gun before you give it to them. So if you want to have a talk about guns and gun safety, knock yourself out. I think it's perfectly legitimate and reasonable to do so. You just can't condition treatment upon whether or not somebody actually owns a gun.
Dan Gross with the Brady.
Can I
go ahead, please.
This is not true. And Representative Broder knows that because I quote from the law, quote, patients can report physicians believed to be violating the law to the state medical board to determine if they acted in good faith when asking these questions. So what is the so-called good faith loophole will mean that every single time when I'm, like Representative Broder states, can ask this question, I've in the back of my mind, I have to think, well, if the patient reports me because he or she doesn't feel comfortable, then I have to go to the Board of Medicine, maybe even call to speak personally to the Board of Medicine, get my records subpoenaed, and face potential discrimination and loss of license. So Representative Broder knows that their physicians are gagged and muzzled and will not ask this question, and I understand that.
Dan Gross with the Brady Campaign, I wanted to bring you into the conversation. First of all, can you maybe give us a little information about the Brady Campaign's involvement in the legal challenge to this law and, you know, why the Brady Campaign opposes this?
Yeah, I mean, we're all in working with our friends in the medical community to go after this law because it's an incredibly dangerous one. You know, let's be clear what this law is. You know, I heard a lot of talk, a lot of political rhetoric going around, a lot of misperceptions being floated. This law is an attempt by the gun lobby that controls the Florida state legislature to silence the important conversation about the risks of guns in the home. That's the reason why the doctor on this call, why the medical community wants to talk about guns. It's not because of any agenda being against guns, which is why I think this whole notion of docs versus Glocks is a misnomer. Hmm. It's really the gun lobby and the Florida state legislature against public health and safety. And it's the charge of physicians and of pediatricians to do everything that they can to protect the safety of their patients and the health of their patients. And this law is an attempt to infringe upon that. It's not about encroaching on anyone's right to bear arms. It's about the ability to arm people with facts and information that they can use to make their homes and families and children safer. And, you know, I heard Representative Broder before talk about, you know, the analogy with swimming pools. Sure. Pediatricians, doctors should talk about the dangers associated with swimming pools. We should also talk about the dangers and risks associated with a gun in the home, one of which is most certainly children finding those guns and harming themselves with those guns. One of them is most certainly the unquestionable increased risk of suicide when you have access to a gun in the home. And, you know, the basic question for anyone who supports this law is, why would you want to do anything to stifle that conversation? Why would you not want insurance companies to have information? You know, they'll act on their own. You know, they're businesses, and they'll do everything they can to actualize the numbers, and they'll act on their own. But why would you not want to have truthful and accurate information out there about the dangers of any product, of anything in our lives? And that's what this law is a really insidious attempt to do, to silence a conversation that very often can be a matter of life and death.
And, you know, Dan, the impetus behind this law, as we heard articulated earlier, was, you know, this charge of doctors turning patients away when they would refuse to answer questions about guns or if they owned a gun in the home. Would you possibly be in support of a measure that just simply prevented physicians from turning someone away because their patients owned a gun?
That's a separate conversation. I don't believe that that's at all true. I think that that argument is a false front for that agenda that I talked about before, which is to prevent people in this country from having an honest conversation about the risks associated with the product that they just want to sell more of. And the people who want to sell more of that product have control over the Florida state legislature, and as a result, the Florida state legislature is putting this law forth. I think it's incredibly ironic that, you know, ultimately the argument behind this law is one to protect families in any way. They're not protecting anybody. In fact, they're doing just the opposite. They're putting more families at greater risk because they're preventing a conversation about a potential danger in their lives. This conversation isn't about that. If you want to have a separate conversation about making sure that people have access to care, we can have that conversation, but not in the name of any sort of rational argument for a law that silences a conversation in the medical community between physicians and patients in any way, whether it does completely or not. It's not even worth kind of parsing those details. The bottom line is it does do something to prevent pediatricians and physicians from having honest, rational conversations with their patients about a risk. And, it's the mission of it's the oath of a physician, of a pediatrician, to do everything that they can to protect the health of their patients. And the bottom line is this law inhibits that, and it inhibits that in a dramatic and very, very dangerous way that reveals the true colors of the gun lobby and any Florida state legislator that would advocate for this law.
And, Dan, I hadn't seen anything as to, any latest developments before we began the show, but are you aware, has the Federal Appeals Court made any kind of decision on whether or not to reconsider that late July ruling that has now upheld the law?
I'm not aware of any new developments.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Volschlager, is that the current status of the law right now, just waiting to hear on whether or not the Federal Appeals Court will take this up?
Well, Dan is correct. The status that we have right now, that we filed a motion for an en banc review, for a review by the entire appeals court, is a 9 judges. We have 11 circuit court of appeal. And just to explain to you, this decision was rendered by a three panel judges, and two out of those voted against, our motion. But what's happening now, that we're asking for a 9 panel judge review. If that will be granted, and we hope it will be granted, then 9 judges will have the opportunity to review this law in entirety. If it won't be granted, then we will have to consider asking for our rights and for a hearing in front of the Supreme Court.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the program, but I want to thank my guest, Jason Broder, Dr. Bernd Volschlager, and Dan Gross. Great to speak with you all, and thank you so much for hanging in there with our technical issues. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Republican State Representative Jason Broder of Sanford represents Florida's 28th State House District. He sponsored the Firearm Owners Privacy Act in the State House. Dr. Bernd Volschlager is a Miami family physician in private practice with the Aventura Family Health Center and a plaintiff in the legal challenge to the case. And Dan Gross is president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. We're taking a short break, but when we return, lightning. Florida is known as the lightning capital of the U.S. So far this summer, 22 people have died from lightning strikes around the country. That's double the average number of deaths over the past 5 years. We'll explore why lightning is so common in the Sunshine State and how to protect yourself. WGCU's Amy Tardiff has that conversation just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.